Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. I'm Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer down here at Boca Ciega Bay, and I meet every week online with my compadres, Heather Roan Robbins and Mark Woltz. Heather had surgery and is recovering, and Mark is here. So, Mark, give us an update on Heather because you talked to her today.
Yeah, she's doing well. She has the expected amount of pain, and she explained that the painkiller pills last about 5 hours, and you renew them every 6 hours. So there's an hour of free fall. And,
which is not fun.
She's doing
all
right. She's walking a little further. And she's gradually feeling all of her organs and body parts gradually coming back online. So they didn't shut down for the surgery.
They didn't say again?
Yeah.
What happened?
So it's like everything shut down for the surgery. Now, little by little, it's all coming back.
Okay, got it. Yeah, because it was a pretty big surgery.
Yeah.
And her nerves get mad when you operate on them, you know. I remember when I had my surgery, you know, and, you know, I woke up the first day after it. I'm like, I don't know why everybody says this is so hard. I feel pretty good. And then the pain meds wore off. And I went, oh, wow, okay, got it, you know. Yeah, because, you know, they give you the drugs, and then when they wear off, you're like, that hurts. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But she's hopefully on her way to a recovery. And you know, she was funny because you said her Virgo sun was following the rules, but her Aries moon wanted to go, you know, so.
Yeah, right. Aries moon has no patience for this.
No patience.
There's no hospital bed that's built for an Aries moon.
They're like, let me go forward. So, yeah,
right.
All right. So we're wishing Heather good work. You know, post on her Facebook page if you're on Facebook. She appreciates the prayers and the kind notes. Keep them coming. And we're going to hold her in our heart and send her goodwill, good love. And we miss her, and she'll be back when she's back. You know, the eclipses end in a couple of days. Eclipse season ends in a couple of days on the full moon. The cat's, you can hear him. He's howling. He's very, very chatty tonight. And people are really feeling, you know, pretty emotional with this. I've had a lot of people having big realizations in terms of their life and what's going on. And, of course, my eclipse opened with my sister going on hospice because it was on my Mercury. And now my eclipse is ending with my brother having a car crash. He totaled his car, and he's in the hospital. So he was getting ready to turn into a he's out in Palm Springs, out in California, but he was getting ready to turn into a Trader Joe's, and a guy came up on his left and clipped a guy that was pulling out, and he was, you know, there were three cars involved, and he spun, his car's totaled. And then he was, you know, he walked away, but then like 2 days later, you know, the body kind of, you know, so he's been in a lot of pain, and then he had some kind of problem with the drugs in his kidneys, so he's back in the hospital again right now.
Oh.
They're draining him. Yeah, so I'm kind of ready for these eclipses to end because they were in my third house, you know, like go away. Yeah, so my sister and my brother, so, well. But what are you going to do? It's so the full moon marks the ending of them, which is helpful.
Yeah.
And Mercury, of course, is going to station to go direct on the 25th, back at 15, where it was when he entered his shadow. So we've kind of got a week that's pretty potent with the station turning direct and the full moon in Taurus Scorpio, because, you know, the nodes are in Aries Libra, the moon is in Taurus Scorpio, so Mars and Venus are in what we call mutual reception, which means Venus hates being in Aries, And Mars is no fan of being in Pisces. But they can swap places, right? And Venus can be in Pisces, her exaltation, and Mars can be in Aries, his ruler. But that's a conscious energy. Like, we, you know, mutual receptions are, you have to work the energy. The other way it can go is people can be very depressed and feel sad and be in the car accidents. And, you know, so it just know that the energy is very volatile and full of unexpected twists and turns is the way I would say it. What do you think, Mark? What have you noticed?
I think it will show up especially in relationships because of the square to Pluto. And there can be some manipulations around that. It also will show up in open enemies in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, because Venus is on Chiron, Mercury's on Chiron three times, and Chiron's moving into a position to be in a hammer of Thor. So people are really acting out of very wounded places. That's a really good observation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the square, because people don't necessarily think of that with the sun and the moon and Pluto, right? So talk a little bit about how that'll show up for folks.
Well, Pluto comes screaming in with control issues. And it's either controlled or be controlled, especially with the square to the moon. But it's going to sun and moon at the same time, because the sun and moon are opposite for the full moon. And this full moon, by the way, they're calling it a pink moon, I noticed. And it's not because it will be the color pink, but apparently it was called that because it comes at a time of the year when a certain pink flower showed. So they named it a pink moon, whoever they are.
Okay.
But,
right. Well, there was the pink moon, you know. The flower moon, that was the movie where they killed the women because they inherited the land, right? That was the movie De Niro was in this year, right? I think so, yeah. I didn't see it because I don't do violent movies, but yeah. The flower moon it was, yeah. But also this is the moon that Buddha was enlightened on, supposedly, the full moon in Scorpio and the time of Taurus. And Buddha as a Taurus, and then the full moon in Scorpio when he sat under the Bodhi tree and reached enlightenment. And I remember a while back, I said something, you know, you think of a little fat Buddha sitting under the tree. And I got an email, you know, from a woman who I know, and, it, you know, I know her pretty well, not in great well, but, you know, I've seen her as a client and had dinner with her a couple times and lunch a couple times. And she wrote, Buddha is not fat and round, Anne. So that's like a, you know, our images of Buddha, this little fat guy. Don't go making him a fat, round guy. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what Buddha looks like. I just assumed that was what Buddha looked like. So just saying Buddha's not the fat, round guy sitting under the tree, because that's what Renee said. But it was very cute because she wrote me, I can't believe you called Buddha fat. I'm like, every statue I've seen of Buddha, he's fat and round. She goes, no. I'm like, all right, you know, I have no idea. Jesus isn't blonde with blue eyes either. He's a Semite, so I get that. But, you know, there's a lot of pictures of Jesus with blonde hair and blue eyes. So, yeah, whatever. All good.
Yeah.
All good. None of us were alive then. So maybe he was thin when he was young and he got fat when he was old, or he was a chubby little baby and then he slimmed down because he went on a weight loss program after he was enlightened. I don't know. But it is the moon of enlightenment, too. And because it's got the split from Pluto, Pluto's in a new sign. Now, the moon has met up with Pluto, you know, quite a few times in the last year. Venus and Mercury and Mars all had a conjunction with Pluto in Capricorn or in Aquarius. But the sun has not had his meeting yet with him. And next year, of course, the sun will meet Pluto in Aquarius conjunction. But this is kind of like an opening square. And so think about Pluto kind of going, so like, I think you're kind of an idiot, you know, and you can kind of hear the sun going like, you know how like you sometimes meet people or a lot of times in rom-coms, you know, they start out like disliking each other, you know, because it's a square, or it's, they start out with a little argument. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this first encounter of a tense nature the Sun has, because Pluto was in Aquarius for 3 months last year, March, June, July, wasn't in a square. So it'll be an interesting energy to see what that looks like as they have this square to the full moon. So, yeah.
And also,
interesting.
It has in that chart, there's also Mars approaching a conjunction to Neptune.
Right.
So
yeah.
We have
and I
Pluto
do, I have, yeah.
Sun and
yeah.
Moon.
Mars on Neptune. Talk a little bit about what that feels like.
That can feel like depressing and I don't know what to do, what action to take, or taking an action that's not quite mature yet.
Right.
So it seems,
or not,
seems like a
not
good
thought
idea.
Out. Also not thought out. Yeah. Because Mars is in the fog.
And so Mars just says, well, just go with it. like magical thinking. This is a good one for magical thinking. So if you suspect that your ideas are magical thinking, step back, take another look, and ask somebody else to have a look too.
Right.
Actually, it's always good to have someone else give you their take on anything to do with Neptune.
Yeah, because a lot of times you don't see Neptune clearly. You know, it's his job. I mean, he's a movie, right? And with Mars coming at him, it was interesting because I was reading today they found a woolly mammoth because of the way the ice had melted. It was a baby woolly. And it's in good enough condition that they can get DNA from it and clone it. So they're talking about doing that. And I read that with the Mars Neptune, because the ice melted. And there's a little woolly mammoth, baby calf, that apparently fell in a swamp or something and drowned, but in good shape. So I thought, ooh, it's a little bit like Jurassic Park, and that's the Mars and Neptune.
Yeah.
Venus and Aries, we can clone this thing. And I'm like, do we want to do that? You know, and I'm reminded because I'm very wimpy with visuals, so I don't generally see scary things. I do rom coms, I do historical stuff, I'm good, but the scary jumping, scaring you on purpose or violent. I don't really like violent. But there was back when I was younger, I was taking a film course with a couple of friends, and they were like, oh, you'll like it, it'll be good. I'm like, all right. And it was a guy in New York, and he would have he would show the film. We'd be in a big group, and then he'd have, the director or some of the actors come and talk about it. It was very, very nice. But it was the summer of Jurassic Park, right? And, and I knew it. I knew the dinosaurs were going to be mean, right? And I just know, David Spielberg did Jaws. I'm like, okay, this is not going to be fun. So I had a friend who had seen it earlier because she was like one of those premiere people. She always got invited to premieres. I said, so tell me all the scary parts in the movie so I know what to do. I know when to close my eyes, right? So she's like, really? I said, yeah, just tell me because I really like to know. I like to close my eyes, and sometimes they don't give you music. Like the music's scary. I close my eyes. So she tells me all the different scary parts in the movie. And so we're watching the movie, and the opening scene, they ripped some guy's arm off. And she hadn't told me about that one. And I was like, oh, my God. What else did she leave out? So I sat there like a tense wreck. And that's, of course, a Mars-Neptune, scary movies. We're going to Mars you in the Neptune area, So when they were talking about this, pulling back the woolly mammals, I'm like, no. I don't go doing that. And then I was reminded of Jurassic Park, that not knowing all the scary parts and then wanting to go, I think I'm going to go home now. It was actually okay. She did tell me all the other ones. But when I yelled at her afterwards, she goes, I didn't even really notice that one, Ann. Yeah, when they were loading the guy in the truck, the dinosaur ripped the guy's arm off. So anyway. So the energy is good, but also that Mars Neptune. Yeah, it was. Yeah, no cloning the woolly mammoth. But the other thing with the Mars Neptune is there's also a lot of Bacchus in the sky, and a lot of people are getting emotional reveals and getting triggered. So I have quite a few customers or clients or friends of mine whose kids are picking up again after having been sober for a while, being triggered by their old wound. And so it's a really good time if you have a history of addiction with Mars coming to Neptune in a conjunction. It's going to start a new two-year cycle, but it also is a really good time to double down on your self-care, how you take care of yourself, go to meetings again, call the therapist, watch for triggers, and, you know, when they hit, you know, do your steps or do your coping mechanism or do your pause, think about it, you know, don't just pick up, because it is, the energy is really emotional up there and also, you know, kind of harsh. I mean, we just had the Yale campus, you know, the riot police came and arrested kids on the Yale campus this morning. So it's who were protesting the Palestinian Gaza stuff. It's a very turbulent sky. And of course, everybody feels it, depending on where the turbulence is in your chart, but you can be dealing with other people that are turbulent who are having problems. I mean, you know astrology, which is a helpful thing, but they don't. And people will say to you, you know, is like Mercury retrograde or something, you know, because you know astrology. You go, as a matter of fact, Mercury is retrograde, but there's a lot of other stuff going on, you know. So, and just really honoring, you know, with the Jupiter and Uranus conjunction that we just had, it's really going back and dissolving a lot of the stuff from 2/10 to 11 when Jupiter and Uranus met the last time. They met at zero Aries, and they met at 27 Pisces, which is where Neptune and Mars are right now. So there's a lot of old emotional stuff over the last 14 years that's wrapping up. And we'll wrap up this summer and then the fall when Pluto is in Capricorn for the last time in 248 years. So we're at really big ending times, and people react very differently to endings and feel them. They just really feel them. So that's the energy. So we have the Mercury turning direct and Mars joining Neptune. We have the Jupiter-Uranus last week saying a new chapter. We have this big old T-square with the full moon. Full moon makes us think back to November of 2022 when the new moon happened at the same point. So think back to then, because that was the new moon in Scorpio. And then last summer, there was the opening square in Leo. And now we have the full moon in Taurus. And then when we get to Aquarius, which is February of next year, we'll have the closing square. So I had a couple people that really in big relationships showed up in November of 2022, and then they broke up last August on the Venus-Sun conjunction and the Venus retrograde. And now, knock, 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 back at the door, you know, Mercury retrograde, they're back. You know, I think I made a mistake. And you're kind of like, do I take him back? Do I let him go? Is it finished? You know, so it's a lot of thinking about what's important for you personally, too, as we look at these energies. They're pretty potent, you know. So, yeah. So any wise last advice before we take a caller, Mark?
No, just pay attention and check in with your advisors. Check in with whoever you honor their advice.
Right.
Now is the time.
Right. And your advisors can be your kids. I was talking to one of my clients today whose son in college is giving her a very hard time, and the younger brother is like, Mom, you know, why are you letting him fight with you like that? You know, so, you know, this kid's like 15 or 16, and he's like, why? Where did he get so wise? I said, you know, he's in the family. He knows the dynamic. And, you know, listen to him. He's wise, you know. Like, you know, that kid's watching older brother pick on Mom and going, Mom, why are you reacting to this? And you know, and her husband looks at her and goes, yeah, why are you reacting to this? You know? And she's like, I'm reacting. I'm like, well, yeah, you are. It's, you know, it's tense energy. People are really feeling it. But also recognize if you're reacting, part of the reaction is the place you're supposed to heal, because Chiron's on that north node. The eclipse was on the north node. Venus is on the north node. Mercury is going to go over the Chiron again. Venus was on the Chiron. The sun and moon in Chiron. Mercury is going to go over it a third time. There's a hammer of Thor where Chiron is. It's like a big deal. So if you react, own the reaction. Go digging around in it and try and figure out what it is. If you react and you want to go drink or drug again, call a friend, because this energy is very intense. You're not, I mean, you can relapse if you fall off the wagon, just pick yourself up in 2 days rather than, you know, going down the chutes. So, I mean, it's intense out there, people. And you know that song, So You Had a Bad Day? You know, play that. That was one of my favorites. So You Had a Bad Day, da-da-da. It was a one wonder hit, but it's one of the enduring songs I play when it's problematic. So, all right, so let's try pulling up a person, and we will ask 272-900. You're on the air.
Hi.
Can we help you? Hi.
Yeah, my name is Kayla. I was just calling in to see what my transits had for me.
Okay, what's your birthday?
October 1st, 1988.
And time?
10:01 a.m.
Okay, and where?
Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
Like hogs, Pottsville. Like pigs?
It's Pottsville.
So pots instead of hogs. Okay, yeah. It's,
correct.
You know, the lovely, yeah. All right. Cool. And you have a specific question or just kind of a look and see what's going on in my chart?
Just a look and see.
Okay. All right. 10:01 a.m. Pottsville, PA, October 1st, 1988. Your progressed son just went into your first house. So for your whole life up until now, the progressed son's been in hiding, working behind the scenes. The last year or so as he went over Pluto was hard, but you ended a 360-year cycle. You're on the other side of it. And as the sun goes through the first house and the second house and the third house for the rest of your life, you're really going to have your career take off and really start to be able to create what you want to create in the world. Chart always is going to do things a couple times, like we were trying to spell your city right because of the moon in Gemini, and you are going to have a Jupiter return at the end of the month, the end of May, and that's going to start a new huge cycle for you in terms of your life and how you express yourself in your career. So that's very important. And also the ruler of your chart, you're a Scorpio rising. Your progressed sun's in Scorpio right now at 13 in your first house. But the ruler of your chart is Mars in Aries, and your Mars has gone direct by progression, and it's at zero Aries. So we're going to really watch for when that north node of fate gets there the first week in January for kind of a huge uptick in your life. You've got a big relationship or big money energy coming in 3 months with the progressed moon coming to your Venus. And your progressed Venus is on your sun. So this is very nice for working in groups, working on things that you love, excellent energy for relationships coming in that you're going to spend the next 12 years in, and also really creative time for the next year and a half with the nodes of fate going through your fifth house. This looks like full steam ahead, a little bit of lack of clarity about what it's going to be because you're having Neptune square your progressed Saturn, your natal Saturn, but it would be like trust the process and just go do it. That would be what I would say. And you're also having Saturn on your node of fate back and forth 3 times this year, which is a lot of times about moving or putting down roots because it's down in your fourth house. So it's a very grounding transit. It's also about being really clear with your words
because your Mercury was retrograde when you were born, and it's also gone direct. And pretty quick, it's going to turn into Scorpio. Right now, it's at late Libra. So it's getting this. So any kind of conversation you're in, especially triangular, like you're talking to Mark and I, that's a triangle conversation. Open it up so that both people, everybody's heard. And so I'm going to shut up now and let Mark say stuff. Mark?
Yeah. You're also in a month or two, you're going to have the progressed moon touching your natal sun. And that really wakes up your solar energy. And it'll make you able to use your better instincts toward other people. So you may feel like you can just embrace people and give them energy. And you can do that mentally in conversation. It doesn't have to be physical. But there's a real nurturing energy that'll be there. That's in a month or two. And that'll carry you through the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a big year for you. Did you have a question on anything we said?
Not really. But it's good news, so I'm happy to hear that it's going to be a good year.
Say again?
I'm happy to hear it's going to be a good year.
Yes, yeah, good. Yeah. You're ready. I mean, the last couple of years were tough with Sun going over your Pluto. It was really about working out, you know, what went down when you were 11 and 12, and that's pretty hard. But you're on the other side of it. And so now what you want to do is go, okay, I'm on the other side. And that was a necessary part of your healing journey. And, you know, 5 months ago, it kind of eased up a little because you had two and a half years of the moon in Virgo, which was like work, 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 dig around in all this old stuff. And the other part is when the story is nasty with the moon in Gemini, opposite your Saturn, tell the story in a, and then what that meant, this is a very good chart to kind of do, and I don't know if you've done it, you look like you were into the arts and stuff, the difference between like the Wizard of Oz and Wicked, right? Because the Wizard of Oz has this whole, and then Wicked has a whole story, and you want to go in and do the Wicked version with your story, because that'll help the chart kind of calm down, but most importantly, because the sun's out of the 12th, you've emerged from the darkness. And that sun over Pluto is very much going from a caterpillar to a butterfly. You just have to let your wings dry a little and you'll be fine. Right now, your wings are still a little sticky, but never let a Pluto transit get you down. And remember, on the other side of one, you get a really big present, you know. So.
Great.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Remember, overall in your life, you tend to be thrown into actions. Like you sit at the edge for a little while till you figure out what's going on, and then something pulls you and presses you out onto the basketball court and puts a ball in your hand and says, "You go," and then you go.
Right. I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
That's pretty much how it's been. So,
yeah. All right. Well, good. Have a good time eating the pollen. So,
thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
All right. All right. So we're done here. We'll see you all next week. Have a good full moon and a Mars Neptune conjunction. Usually that makes you cry. So if you find yourself sobbing at some point, totally right on point. Or this week I've had clients burst into tears and sob. I mean, like real, you know, like the ugly cries, you know, where your face gets all weird and stuff. And then they're apologizing. I'm like, don't apologize to me. You need to cry. It's okay. And that's Mars Neptune. You know what? You know, I have movies I watch that make me cry. And that's definitely something I would recommend this week. You know, the things that make you happy cry and sad cry. Mark, what do you want to, and I'm signing off here from Boca Ciega Bay. Mark?
Okay. I'm signing off from New York City, and we're having spring, It's a reluctant spring, but we're having it. And I wish you all a good week. Thanks for tuning in.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week and have fun. Bye, everybody.
Okay, bye now.